Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
This is so awesome. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. This is such an honor to be with you here today. And how many mothers got breakfast in bed this morning? Anyone? It was too early. This is nobody. We have to fix that, guys. So Michael made me breakfast yesterday because we knew we wouldn't have time today. So we had pancakes and eggs and strawberries, and that was great. And then I requested Mexican food later today. So we'll be doing that after the 11 service. So. But it's so cool to be here at East Campus, and just coming here, it just reminds me of when I first started coming to C3. I mean, it has the feel of the old campus. So we used to set up church in a middle school, and it was about this size, and it's just, you know, the first time I came into C3, I had been a Christian my whole life, but when I came here, you know, the culture was a little different. So it was a little bit of a culture shock, which I think for a lot of people it's a culture shock. It was for Michael too. I don't think he would have stayed at C3 if it wasn't for me. But there was something about the atmosphere, the worship, the friendliness, the life-giving messages, and I just kept coming back. I just couldn't get enough. And I just, every service there was, like, I would come and I was like, man, I'm addicted to this place. And I realized I was addicted to the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, that's really what it was. I had grown up in a Baptist church and some other churches, and I had a relationship with God, but I had never really felt a presence like that or the presence of the Spirit like I had when I came here. And I just felt alive. I felt like, you know, in the Matrix when you take the pill and you can't go back to what you don't know. That's how it was. It's like, there's no way I could go somewhere that doesn't, you know, have this atmosphere and invite the Holy Spirit and have ministry like they do here. And so that was my journey 11 years ago, June. I walked through the doors of C3, and yeah, so it's just amazing. So here I am today. And when I came into this church, I was, you know, riddled with fear. I had anxiety and fear, and, you know, I just wasn't really walking in strength. And so coming in here has been a transformational house, honestly. You know, and sitting under teaching that's fresh, real, and powerful, ministry of the Holy Spirit, they don't shy away from topics. Every time there's altar calls, on the altar call, you know, layers being peeled away, you know, being ministers to. Several Empower conferences ago, we used to do Freedom conferences, got delivered of a spirit of fear. About 8 years ago, or I don't know when that was. It seems like ages ago now, but, you know, and so I'm just so glad to be part of a church that believes in this and ministers in it, because it's so needed, and I know I so needed it. So I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the vision of Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Love them, if you're listening. Thank you so much, and just for the opportunity for people like me to stand up here and give my testimony. So it's just so awesome. So where do I go from there? So, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, but I wasn't really empowered or had the tools to get my breakthrough, you know, until I found C3. So the title of my message this morning is The Trust Test. Do I get a, oh, I love it. Thanks, guys. Got the flowers. So The Trust Test. So when I was 8 years old, like I said, I feel like I always knew God and always knew Jesus, but when I was 8 years old, I decided that I wanted to invite Jesus into my heart on a day that I could remember, because I knew it was really important. I picked September 1st, 1991, so it was 9/1/91, and I sat in my bedroom, and I invited Jesus into my life to live in my heart, and so vacation. Thank goodness. Jesus didn't come on August 31st because I don't know what happened. But no, I felt like I always knew him. But so I planned my salvation. So if that tells you anything about my personality, I'm a planner. I'm organized. I don't like surprises. I will. I'm efficient. And I do like taking the scenic route, but if it's on purpose. I don't like it if I'm trying to get somewhere on time and we accidentally take the scenic route, I'm not happy. Or if I've planned out the whole day and something unexpected happens, like, I mean, I'm not that anal. Like, I mean, just, but I definitely have room for where, you know, I expect a certain thing and then I expect for it to happen. So that's how I am. Oh my goodness. When I was in high school, I would write down the outfits I wore, and I couldn't repeat an outfit for 3 months. Yeah. So I had like a notebook written with all the outfits I wore. So I could wear like the same pants or the same shoes, but I couldn't wear like this whole thing again. So that's how organized I was. I've never told anybody that before. Is there anybody in here like me, or am I the only one? Oh, yay! Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, for making me feel better. So that kind of attitude and personality, oh, hi, Jen. So it kind of spilled out into my high school, you know, my life. Like, I was good in school. I got straight A's. I was a great, I didn't like getting in trouble, so I never did anything wrong. I was a good student and, you know, won awards, and I was a great athlete. I was 4 years, high school water polo and swimming. I, you know, basically, whatever I put my mind to, I accomplished it. And so I kind of was just confident in myself. I didn't really have a confidence problem. And so I just kind of, you know, that was my life. And so after high school, I went to college. I graduated with a biology degree in 3 years because that's efficiency. So that made sense to me. Didn't make sense to stick around for another semester if I didn't have to. So then I graduated, and then I was like, now what do I do? You know, and so I moved back home. And, you know, I got a job, and then I kind of was not sure of where my life was going. I didn't really have anything else on my checklist that I needed to do. You know, I wanted to get married, but I wasn't really in a rush for that at 21. And so I kind of was like, I kind of freaked out. I was like, okay, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what else to do. I have nothing on my list. You know, I had been just living off of what I thought was, you know, the next thing, and I ran out of next things. Wow. So I was finally still and quiet enough for God to get a hold of me. And so many of you have heard this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So this is a great scripture. Many of you guys know it, have heard it, have quoted it. My three-year-old knows it by heart. He learned it at preschool. But, you know, and for a lot of you, it probably gives you comfort. It's like, wow, I'm so glad that God has a plan for my life. You know, this is so comforting. But for me, it stressed me out because I'm thinking, what is this plan and how do I get my hands on it? Because I don't know what the plan is and I don't know what the next step is. So if there's anyone that's like an A-type in here, it probably doesn't comfort you. It probably is like, where is this blueprint? I need this download, you know? And so I started having anxiety, and you know, this was also wrapped up in a spirit of fear that I had had, but I started to be anxious about the day. I couldn't really plan for future things. I would just basically get through the day. It'd be like, what do I have to do today? Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Get through the day, come home, relax, go to bed, do it all again the next day. I was just on this cycle, but not really going anywhere, kind of on a hamster wheel. And, you know, so I just was, like, if I would think of the next week or the next month, I would get overwhelmed and just, I can't think about that. Like, it's too far out there. I don't know what's going to happen next month. So I can't even think about that. It's too overwhelming for me. I had to lean on scriptures like Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And I would meditate on this. I would have to meditate on this every day. So much so, actually, even now, when I see, if I'm overwhelmed or stressed out, if I see like a bird flying or a bird chirping, like it's a reminder for me, like to remember the scripture. So it brings me comfort to see birds, and like that's how much I had to read the scripture and get it in my spirit. And you know, if the birds didn't have to worry about where their food was coming up, you know, from, why did I have to worry? But for me, it was that was just getting me through the day. Like it wasn't even helping me with the real issue. It was just, how do I get through the day? How do I get through the week? And that was real life for me for about a year. It was a struggle. I didn't want to be like that. I just didn't know how to get out of it. So I felt like, you know, I was in this desert, like wandering around, and God was finally like, okay, finally, you're gonna stop leaning on your own achievements and accomplishments and confidence and start leaning on me. And that's what happened. Another scripture that helped me during this time was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. That was really hard for me because I was calculating, I was planning, I was rationalizing and could, you know, trying to think my way through things when God was just really saying, no, you just have to trust me. And so even though I couldn't see the next step in the natural, I knew like my relationship with God was growing because I was literally attached to him walking me through each day. And so even though I'm like, I don't know where I'm going, it's like my eyes are closed. Like, I don't know where I'm going, but we're just going, just taking step by step. Like that's how I was living. And, you know, it was good for me to go through that, but you know, God didn't want me to stay there, right? Amen. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know I'm God. And that was him telling me, stop being anxious and just trust me. Just be quiet, Lisa. And Christine Kane posted yesterday, you grow when your trust in God exceeds your anxiety about the future. And that was completely me. I was in this growing place. I was in this place of struggle, but it was like I was growing. I was, you know, meditating on the word. I was growing and trusting God. I think sometimes it's easier to not have anxiety or be anxious about the future when you have a promise attached to it. Like if you have a prophecy or a word or you know like something's gonna happen, it's easier to walk it out because you're like, okay, I know we're going there and I don't know how we're gonna get there, but we're going this way. So, but when you don't have something like that, it's like how I was feeling. I was like, I don't know which way I'm even going. Like I felt like I was in the dark. So it just wasn't helpful for me. So, but thank God for the Bible. You know that this is full of promises written for you. So there's promises in here for each of us. And Pastor Phil Pringle made this app in this little book. So Pastor Phil, if you listen to this message, please update the app because it doesn't work on my phone anymore. Thank you. So there's an app called The Promises. You can't download it because it's not working right now. But I would listen to it, and it's Pastor Phil's voice, and he's reading the promises out loud. So you can play it and it's in his voice and he's reading it. So I have one right here. And so there, I mean, it's awesome. It's, look how big it is. They're doubles, both sides, scriptures on both sides. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Joshua 1:8, if you meditate in the words of my book day and night and do not let them depart from your mouth, then you will have good success. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened to you, seek and you shall find. John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there's a bunch on here. So this helped me because these are the promises that God wrote in the Bible for you. And so you may not have a direction of where you're going or a word to stand on, but he's written these all for you. So get your hands on these. So good. And I want to give this out to someone right now. Let's see. Is there anyone that's like me feeling like in a dark place and not know which way to go? All right, we can give this. I can't fix it. Okay, there you go. You can give that to Sharon back there. There you go. It's a blessing. Yeah. But you guys can get your hands on that. I think you can order it from his website if you are interested. It's just called The Promises by Dr. Phil Pringle, and it just really helped me a lot. So that was so good. And the more you read those, the more they get in your spirit, the more you believe them, and then it builds your faith. So then it's like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And that's really what happened. I had to retrain my thoughts. I had to retrain my faith would rise. And then I'm like, okay. And then so gradually, you know, I began to believe these things about myself. You know, I had wanted God to give me a blueprint of my life, but when really he just wanted to be Lord over my life. You know, I needed to stop planning and start trusting in him. So I'm going to revisit Jeremiah 29:11 again, just this time in the Message version. I'll show up and I'll take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want to know more than anything, want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you will not be disappointed. God's decree. I mean, wow, if that is not a promise you can stand on, I don't know what is. You know, sometimes we get so focused on the first part of that scripture. I know the plans I have for you. Great, thank you. But then the rest of it says, you know, he's there. He's going to look after you. He's going to take care of you. And if you lean into him and press into him, he's there. He's not going to let you down. You know, I didn't see that part of the scripture when I read it the first time. But I think it was because I had to go through this trust test. Like, it's what forged me to be in this place. Yeah. Because I had to grow. That's right. You know, I feel like everyone at some point has to go through a trust test. You know, we all have different weaknesses, different areas that we struggle in giving trust to God in, things that he wants to work out in us. And for me, this was it. You know, and so we get these tests, plural, like they come, but not to take us out, but to make us stronger and to develop us, you know. And so I feel like, you know, when these tests come, you don't want to take, like Pastor John was saying, you don't want to take yourself out of the process because then you nullify the progress. He said that last week. And so that was me. I mean, I'm, you know, we already established that I like to be efficient. So I don't want to take myself out of a process because that means I'm going to have to redo it at some point. So that's just a waste of time. So I just stay in there. So I'm resilient. I hang in there because I want to learn what I'm supposed to learn. I don't want to take myself out of there too early. Oh my goodness. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finished, until the day Jesus Christ returns." He's not going to leave you in that valley and in that desert. He's there with you, and he'll give you tools to come out of it. He's with you, and you can trust him because he's a good father. So my fear of missing out, my FOMO, was bigger. My fear of missing out on what God had for me was bigger than the anxieties I had in my life. I didn't want to live in that place. I just didn't know how to get out of that place. And I didn't want to miss out on what God was wanting to do in my life, you know, or else I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't stay in that process. So, I mean, let your FOMO of missing out on God's plan be bigger than your struggle, you know, because that's what, you know, what God wants for us. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to grow with him. He wants us to do his works here on earth. And if you don't allow himself to move in you, then that's not going to happen. You know, it's like we keep ourselves at the level that we're comfortable. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'm comfortable here, so I'm just going to hang out. Well, I wasn't happy where I was, and I'm not happy just being mediocre in with my struggles. Like, I didn't want to stay like that. So even though this was a few years struggle for me, I'm so glad I stayed in it because I'm able to speak with authority on it now and help other people and tell people about the goodness of God. So, and I'm thankful that I stayed in that process because I faced the ultimate trust test this past January. I'm gonna be happy about this, so I might cry. So, well, I have one sister, and I have a wonderful parents that raised us. They're amazing. My sister is married to a Navy aviator. He flies like F-18s. They've been stationed in Japan for 4 years. And my mom, my parents live in Seattle, and my mom was raised in Japan. She's half Japanese, and she grew up there and came to the States to go to college. So it was always her dream that she would have her whole family come to Japan and she can show us around. And so since my sister was living there, we're like, okay, this is a great time. So we planned the trip and we flew out on Christmas, this Christmas, and we had the best time. And we went skiing in Nagano and we spent days in Tokyo. We based out of my sister's house when we did all those trips. We were there 2.5 weeks. We have a picture. Can you put that picture up, Shelly? And it's a little bit stretched. Okay, we all look fat. Okay. But so I wanted to take a family picture because we're rarely all together. So Michael and I are there and the two boys, who, by the way, that was hilarious that Grady kept talking about Pokemon. He has like a one-track mind on the Mother's Day video. He was so cute. Okay, so the boys, my sister's in the red. She has 3 kids. My brother-in-law, who's the pilot, and then my mom and dad there. So we're at the Imperial Palace here in Tokyo, and it was kind of like a life dream for my mom to bring us all there. She was in her element. She speaks Japanese. That's her people. She grew up there. It was so much fun. And so we got to tour the city and take family photos, and we had the best time. And so we wanted to take this trip because we knew that our season was going to get busier with starting this church and everything. So, so we had a lot of fun. But so what happened was on the last day, so it was January 10th, we were supposed to fly home. And that morning at 5:30 in the morning, we heard like a big crash. And it woke me up and I was like, Michael, like, what was that? I thought there was like an intruder in the house. And then we heard like snoring. And so I was like, okay, like someone's snoring. And so Michael goes out there and my mom's laying at the bottom of the stairs at my sister's house. And it was really steep stairs and not hard. Like they were kind of like, I don't know, cement and like with rubber and in the house. It was like military housing. So we found my mom there. And so Michael picked her up and she kind of came to a little bit. And we moved her to the couch and we're like, okay, we need to take her to the hospital. So we were on the Navy base. And so they drove her to the urgent care right there. And they immediately were like, okay, we need to get her to like a neuro, like we think she's having brain hemorrhaging. So they put her in an ambulance and had to transport her 40 minutes to go to this this Japanese hospital where they had a neuro team. And so my sister and I rushed over there. We're all there. And, you know, the doctor, we had like the one doctor that spoke English there because he had trained in the U.S. And he was like, okay, the CAT scan doesn't look good. There's a lot of bleeding. Do you want us to do the surgery to relieve the pressure to stop the bleeding? And I'm like, well, you have to do the surgery because you can't help her otherwise. And they're like, okay. So we're praying through that she would make it through the surgery. She made it through the surgery, but at the end, they didn't have any, after the next CAT scan didn't show any brain activity. So we're, at that point, we're like, okay. So they said the next, you know, 24 hours are critical. So we all stayed there. We were praying for her, believing for her. At that point, we were just in shock. We didn't know what was happening. We were supposed to fly home that day. It was the last day of our vacation, and it was like the best vacation ever. And so we were believing. And that night, we were about to leave, and one of the nurses came running out, and it's like, oh, I think you need to come right now. Her vitals were kind of dipping, and we're like, oh my gosh! So we came running in, and they just had to like adjust her medication, but it was good because we were all around her bedside, and even the kids. We brought the kids in, and we were praying for her and speaking to her and singing to her, and then we all spent the night at the hospital that night, all 12 of us, like on the beds. They in Japan, like there's like nobody else there. I don't know where all the other families were, but we pretty much took over the ICU. So we had this lounge set up. We were like laying down. Our kids were sleeping there. We were sleeping there. And so we all stayed the night. And so after she made it through the night, You know, she kind of stabilized, and they're like, okay, she's stable. We've got her stable on a ventilator. She was in a coma, but she was on life support. So we kind of were there for a few days, and things weren't really changing. This was like January 13th. And so Michael and I, at that point, you know, I had to make a decision if I was gonna stay there with my family or fly home, because the church was launching on the 21st. And so that was 1 week before this campus started. So I talked to my sister and my dad, and you know, I actually had peace with leaving, because I had peace that I had trust in God, that I had given him the situation, and, you know, he could wake her up in a second, or, you know, and I felt like it was out of my, I was like, nope, like, you've got this, and I trust you. So I felt like in that moment, it was kind of like a trust, like the ultimate trust test. Like, I was like, okay, do I trust you in this situation to handle it? So I felt peace about coming home, even though my mom was still in a coma. And, you know, I talked to my dad and my sister, and if they would have asked me to stay, I would have stayed for them, but I wasn't staying because of my mom. Like, I felt like she was in God's hands either way. So my dad and my sister, they were so released, you know, they were okay. I could tell they were like, no, it's okay, Lisa. Like, we're good. We're strong, you know? And so they released me to go. So the boys and I flew home that Sunday we got to be prayed over to launch this campus. And that week we were busy preparing for this campus and still believing for my mom. You know, the crazy thing was for me is that we had taken communion before we got on the plane to go to Japan, like at LAX, Michael had communion. We're like, we're going to cover this trip. So we took communion before we got on the plane with my mom. That Sunday, it was like New Year's Sunday. We took communion that Sunday too. And then we took communion again. And so even this whole time I'm believing, I'm like, no, God, like, we took communion. This is covered. Like, we are believing for a miracle here. We are believing for you to show up in this place. We're believing for a testimony, that, you know, coming out of this. And so I was just like, no, this is not what's supposed to happen. Like, this is not what we believe for. We had people praying all over the world for us. We had people praying here. We had people praying in Japan and all over the East Coast where my dad's family is and everywhere. And it just didn't make sense in the natural why this had happened. My mom was healthy. There was nothing. They don't know why she fell. They couldn't tell us. We don't know. They just said it was brain hemorrhaging. She was healthy. She didn't have high blood pressure. She didn't. And just on the last day of the vacation, like, it just didn't make sense at all. And it was just like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And this is, you know, covered in prayer. This is covered in communion. Like, what? And there were so many question marks. But, you know, I still had to trust in God in this moment. And you know, I knew that whatever happened, you know, it would be, you know, I would still love and trust in God and follow him all my days. Like, it wouldn't question my faith in him. But in everything, you know, is ultimately, you know, in his hand. So we, in our own way, we kind of had a word that, you know, when Abraham took Isaac up to be sacrificed, that, you know, it wasn't until he raised the knife that the ram appeared in the thicket. And so we kind of felt like, you know, God can move in an instant, you know? And so we were still believing for that ram. But we had to make a decision to release my mom. My mom, she was a giver. She was full of life. She was helping everybody. She would give you anything she had. It made her happy to give. And she wanted to be an organ donor. So the hospital was asking us about that and trying to get us to make a decision, because they had to do a lot of paperwork from the state. They had to know her medical history. It took forever to get everything, just because we were in a foreign country. And so it took a while. So, you know, on this one of the days, I think I was even back here, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, we had to decide, each one of us, my sister and my dad and I, to release my mom. Like, to sign the paper to say to go ahead and look for recipients. So we released her, her name, and my sister and I were still believing for a miracle. We were like, it's not over. Like, her heart started bleeding. She's still alive. And we were like, her vitals are so strong. We were praying over her organs. We were praying over her heart. And so on the day, it was a Thursday, the 18th, 3 days before this start of this campus, my mom went to heaven. But my sister messaged me, and she was like, oh my gosh, Lisa, mom donated her heart. And I was like, you know, that heart was meant for someone else, you know, and she lives on. My mom was able to save 4 people's lives. So when they did the surgery, they usually don't donate hearts over the age of 40, and my mom was 64, but they said her organs were in perfect condition. They immediately called, found a recipient, life flighted her heart to a man that, you know, was dying. And she was able to donate her lungs to someone else, her liver and a kidney to someone else, and one of her kidneys went to a 10-year-old girl who was on dialysis. So, you know, sometimes in the midst of this sorrow and tragedy, like, these people were able to get a miracle because of my mom. You know, there's going to be testimonies coming out of this that we won't know the impact of until heaven. Yeah. But it was just amazing because in Japan, I think there was only like 70 organs that were donated last year. So people don't donate organs there because they don't like to give of their body organs. I think maybe they might believe in reincarnation and they don't like to do that. So they couldn't believe that my mom would one, be a donor and give these organs. And she was able to give even more than that. Those were just the ones that saved people's lives. Like, and so it was just amazing. And even the nurses, I mean, less than 1% of the Japanese population are Christian. And so they couldn't believe the peace and the joy that my family had. The nurse was asking my dad, what is it that you're reading from that's giving you comfort at my mom's bedside? And he was able to share with her that it was the Bible. And she didn't know, you know, about that. And so it's just incredible, the atmosphere there in that hospital. And then my sister is part of a church plant, Lifehouse Church in Tokyo, and the neurosurgeon ended up coming to their church. Yeah. A few weeks later, and brought his family. And so it's just amazing, you know, the God stories that can come out of something like that. And the thing is, when I think about what happened, it's like, if someone would have told me my mom would have died, is going to die on this day, like, how would you have spent the last 2 weeks with her? Like, we had the best time. We had the best trip. We had great memories with the family all together. We're surrounded on her bedside, all of us, you know, surrounding her in love and lifting her up. And so even though it was really sad and my mom left this life too early, you know, there's a lot of good that happened because of it. And you know, I'm believing that, you know, people will hear the testimony of these people and be encouraged. And even the people that were able to receive the donations, you know, like that the Holy Spirit rests on those organs and they'll be blessed because of it. But I have peace about it because I know my mom knew Jesus and I know that she's in heaven. So that gives me peace. I heard recently someone had said that father was receiving lung transplants, and how excited they were, and they were rejoicing, you know, that they were getting a lung transplant, and like, wow, hallelujah, you know, what a miracle, you know. But then I you know, just having gone through this, I think about the other side, you know, like that's somebody's loss, you know, and so, you know, that a life is lost when, you know, for that to happen. And you know that Jesus died on the cross so that we could have life. And not just organs, a full life to the fullest. He exchanged his life for ours, and not just for a few people, for everyone who wants to believe in it. Anyone who believes in him, anyone who wants it to make him the Lord and Savior of their life, that's an open invitation. Like, he endured the cross and gave his life so that we could have life. How beautiful is that? And it just has a whole new perspective for me about what he went through. And Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. So that was me. That is me. I am able to be filled with joy and peace in a circumstance that doesn't seem like it should be filled with joy and peace. Spirit who comforts us, fills us up, gives us joy and peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of pain. You know, when I came back, everyone's like, "I don't know why you're doing so well." And I'm like, "What am I supposed to be doing?" Like, I don't know. I don't know how to do it any other way. But honestly, it was like the prayers of you guys, the prayers of the church, the prayers of our friends, prayers of people around the world that have sustained me, filled me with joy. The Holy Spirit is comforting me, you know, that when you face something like this, you're able to get through it. And not just crawling through it miserably, but you're actually to stand up and be confident in your walk. And if anything, it gave me laser beam focus on my mission in life. It's like, you know, this is what I'm here for. We're starting this church. We're going to take East County. We're going to do this. I'm going to preach my first message. Sorry, guys. I knew Mother's Day was going to be a waterworks for me, but and then they put me up here. It's okay. It's good. It's good for me. But so someone once said, "I do not know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds my future." So it is important to be in a relationship with your Creator. He knows every hair on your head. He knows you inside out, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to get to know your Creator here and meet Jesus. But I want to ask you a question. So if you already know Jesus, do you trust him? Or were you like me, still kind of holding on to doing it on your own? Do you really trust him, and do you really give your life to him? Because I can tell you, when you do that, your life just gets better. He only wants to, I didn't go through that test to take me out. He took me through that test so that I can stand up here and tell you my testimony. So if you would just bow your heads with me and close your eyes.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.